the vision of a burning cigarette out of my head. So the rest of your list, invading your privacy, because I know your bank account number. Yes, that's outrageous. I do background checks on all my submissives. I'll show you. I head into my study and she follows, wondering if this is a good idea. I pull Anna's file from the cabinet and hand it to her. She glances at her neatly typed name and gives me a withering look. You can keep it, I tell her. Well, gee, thanks, she sneers, and starts flipping through and scanning the contents. So you knew I worked at Clayton's? Yes. It wasn't a coincidence. You didn't just drop by. Fess up, Gray. No. This is fucked up. You know that. I don't see it that way. What I do, I have to be careful. But this is private. I don't misuse the information. Anyone can get hold of it if they have half a mind to, Anastasia. To have control, I need information. It's how I've always operated. You do misuse the information. You deposited $24,000 that I didn't want into my account. I told you. That's what Taylor managed to get for your car. Unbelievable, I know, but there you go. But the Audi, Anastasia, do you have any idea how much money I make? Why should I? I don't need to know the bottom line of your bank account, Christian. I know. That's one of the things I love about you. Anastasia, I earn roughly $100,000 an hour. Her lips form the letter O, and for once she remains silent. $24,000 is nothing. The car, the test books, the clothes, they're nothing. If you were me, how would you feel about all this largesse coming your way? She asks. This is irrelevant. We're talking about her, not me. I don't know. I shrug because it's such a ludicrous question. She sighs as if she's had to explain a complex equation to a simpleton. It doesn't feel great. I mean, you're very generous, but it makes me uncomfortable. I have told you this often enough. I want to give you the world, Anastasia. I just want you, Christian, not all the add-ons. They're part of the deal, part of what I am, who I am. She shakes her head, seeming subdued. Shall we eat? She asks, changing the subject. Sure. I'll cook. Good. Otherwise there's food in the fridge. Mrs. Jones is off on the weekends? I nod. So you eat cold cuts most weekends? No. Oh? I take a deep breath, wondering how the piece of information I'm going to give Anna will go down. My submissives cook, Anastasia. Some well, some not so well. Oh, of course. She fakes a smile. What would Sir like to eat? Whatever Madam can find, I reply, knowing she won't get the reference. She nods and exits my study, leaving her file. Placing it back in the filing cabinet, I catch sight of Susanna's file. She was a hopeless cook, even worse than me. But she tried, and we had some fun with that. You've burned this?
Yes. Sorry, sir.
Well, what are we going to do with you?
Whatever pleases you, master.
Did you burn this deliberately? Her flush and the twitch of her lips as she masks her smile are answer enough. Those were pleasurable and simpler times. My previous relationships were dictated by a set of rules that were followed, and if they weren't, there were consequences. I had peace, and I knew what was expected of me. They were intimate relationships, but none of my previous submissives thrilled me as Anna does, even though she's so difficult. Maybe it's because she's so difficult. I remember our contract negotiation. She was difficult then. Yes, look how that turned out, Gray. She's had me on my toes since I met her. Is this why I like her so much? How long will I feel this way? Probably as long as she stays, because deep down I know she'll leave me eventually. They all do. Music starts blaring from the living room. Crazy in Love by Beyoncé. Is Anna sending me a message? I stand in the corridor that leads to my study and the TV room and watch her cook. She's whisking some eggs, but she stops suddenly, and from what I can see, she's grinning like a fool. I creep up behind her and slip my arms around her, startling her. Interesting choice of music. I croon in her ear and plant a kiss behind it. Your hair smells good. She shimmies out of my arms.
I'm still mad at you,
she says. How long are you going to keep this up? I ask, and rake my hand through my hair in frustration.
At least until I've eaten.
Her tone is haughty but playful. Good. Picking up the remote, I switch off the music.
Did you put that on your iPod?
Anna asks. I shake my head. I don't want to say it was Leela because she might get mad again.
Don't you think she was trying to tell you something back then?
She says, guessing correctly that it was Leela. Well, with hindsight, probably. I reply. Why didn't I see this coming? Anna asks why it's still on my iPod and I offer to remove it. What would you like to hear?
Surprise me,
she says. And it's a challenge. Very well, Miss Steele. Your wish is my command. I scroll through the iPod, dismissing several tunes. I consider Please Forgive Me by David Gray, but that's too obvious and frankly too apologetic. I know. What did she call it earlier? Sexpertise. Yes. Use it. Seduce her, Gray. I've had enough of her crankiness. I find the song I want, hit play. Perfect. The orchestra swells, and music fills the room with a cool, sultry intro, and then Nina Simone sings, I put a spell on you. Anna whirls around, armed with a whisk, and I catch and hold her gaze as I move toward her. You're mine, Nina sings. You're mine.
Christian, please,
Anna whispers when I reach her. Please what?
Don't do this.
Do what?
This.
She's breathless. Are you sure? I take the whisk out of her hand before she decides to use it as a weapon. Anna. I'm close enough to smell her. I shut my eyes and take a deep breath. When I open them, the telltale flush of desire stains her cheeks. And it's there between us, that familiar pull. Our intense attraction. I want you, Anastasia, I whisper. I love and I hate, and I love arguing with you. It's very new. I need to know that we're okay. It's the only way I know how. She closes her eyes.
My feelings for you haven't changed,
she says, her voice low and reassuring. Prove it. Her eyelashes flutter and her eyes flit to the exposed skin above my shirt, and she bites her lip. I suppress my groan as the heat radiating from her body warms us both. I'm not going to touch you until you say yes. My voice is thick with my hunger. But right now, after a really shitty morning, I want to bury myself in you and just forget everything but us. Her eyes meet mine.
I'm going to touch your face,
she says, surprising me. Okay. I ignore the frisson that runs down my spine. Her hand caresses my cheek and I close my eyes, enjoying the feel of her fingertips teasing my stubble. Oh, baby. No need for fear, Gray. Instinctively, I press my face into her touch, experiencing it, luxuriating in it. I lean down, my lips close to hers, and she raises her face to mine. Yes or no, Anastasia?
Yes.
The word is no more than an audible sigh. And I lower my mouth to hers, my lips brushing hers, coaxing her, tasting her, teasing her until she opens up for me. I embrace her, one hand on her behind, pushing her against my arousal, and my other hand running up her back into her soft hair, where I tug gently. She moans as her tongue meets mine.
Mr. Gray.
We're interrupted. Christ. I release Anna. Taylor, I acknowledge, through gritted teeth as he stands on the threshold of the living room, looking suitably embarrassed but resolute. What the fuck? We have an understanding that he makes himself scarce when I'm not alone in the apartment. Whatever he has to say must be important. My study, I indicate, and Taylor walks briskly across the room. Rain check. I whisper to Anna and follow Taylor out.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir, he says when we're in my office.
You'd better have a good reason.
Well, your mother called.
Please don't tell me that's the reason.
No, sir, but you should call her back sooner rather than later. It's about this evening.
Okay, what else?
The security team is here, and knowing how you feel about guns, I thought I should inform you that they're armed.
What?
Mr. Welch and I both think it's a precautionary measure.
I loathe guns. Let's hope they don't have to use them.
I sound pissed, and I am. I was making out with Anastasia Steele.
When have I ever been interrupted while making out? Never. The thought suddenly amuses me. I'm living the adolescence I never had. Taylor relaxes, and I know it's because my mood has changed.
Did you know Andrea was getting married today? I ask him, because this has been bugging me since this morning.
Yes, he answers with a puzzled expression. She didn't tell me. Probably just an oversight, sir.
Now I know he's patronizing me. I raise an eyebrow.
The wedding is at the Edgewater, he says quickly.
Is she staying there?
I believe so.
Can you discreetly inquire if the happy couple has a room there and get them upgraded to the best suite available and pay for it?
Taylor smiles.
Certainly, sir.
Who's the lucky guy?
That I don't know, Mr. Gray.
I wonder why Andrea has been so mysterious about her wedding. I brush aside the thought as the aroma of something delicious filters into the room and my stomach growls in anticipation.
I'd better get back to Anastasia.
Yes, sir.
Was that all?
Yes.
Great. We both exit my study. I'll brief them in 10, I say to Taylor when we're back in the living room. Anna is bending over the stove, retrieving a couple of plates.
We'll be ready,
Taylor says, and departs, leaving me alone with Anastasia.
Lunch?
She offers.
Please.
I sit down at one of the bar stools where she's laid our places for lunch.
Problem?
She inquires, as curious as ever. I have yet to tell her about the additional security.
No.
She doesn't push me for any answers as she busies herself plating our lunch of Spanish omelet with salad. I'm impressed she's so capable and at ease in my kitchen. She sits beside me as I take a bite, and the food melts in my mouth.
Delicious.
This is good. Would you like a glass of wine?
No, thank you,
she replies, and gingerly starts eating her lunch. At least she's eating. I forego the wine as I know I'll be drinking this evening, which reminds me that I have to call my mother. I wonder what she wants. She doesn't know I split up with Anna, and now we're back together. I should let her know that Anna is coming to the ball this evening. Using the remote, I switch on some relaxing music.
What's this?
Anna asks.
Cantaloube, Songs of the Auvergne. This is called Bailero.
It's lovely. What language is it?
It's in Old French. Occitan, in fact.
You speak French. Do you understand it?
Some words, yes. My mother had a mantra. Musical instrument, foreign language, martial art. Elliot speaks Spanish, Mia and I speak French. Elliot plays guitar, I play piano, and Mia the cello.
Wow. And the martial arts?
Elliot does judo. Mia put her foot down at age 12 and refused. Anna knows I kickbox.
I wish my mother had been that organized.
Dr. Grace is formidable when it comes to the accomplishments of her children.
She must be very proud of you. I would be,
Anna says warmly. Oh, baby, you couldn't be more wrong. Nothing is that simple. I've been a big disappointment to my folks. School expulsions, dropping out of college, no relationships that they knew of. If Grace only knew the truth about my lifestyle. If you only knew the truth, Anna. Don't go there, Gray. Have you decided what you'll wear this evening? Or do I need to come and pick something for you?
Not yet. Did you choose all those clothes?
No, Anastasia, I didn't. I gave a list in your size to a personal shopper at Neiman Marcus. They should fit. Just so you know, I have ordered additional security for this evening and the next few days. With Leela unpredictable and unaccounted for somewhere on the streets of Seattle, I think it's a wise precaution. I don't want you going out unaccompanied, okay? She looks a little stunned but agrees, surprising me by acquiescing without argument. Good. I'm going to brief them. I shouldn't be long.
They're here?
Yes. She looks puzzled, but she hasn't objected to the additional security, so while I have the upper hand, I pick up my empty plate and place it in the sink and leave Anna to finish her meal in peace. The security team is gathered in Taylor's office, seated at his round table. After our introductions, I sit down and run through the evening's event. Briefing finished, I return to my study to call my mother.
Darling, how are you?
She enthuses into the phone. I'm well, Grace.
Are you coming this evening?
Of course. And Anastasia is coming too.
She is.
She sounds surprised, but she recovers quickly.
That's wonderful, sweetheart. I'll make room at our table.
She sounds too exuberant. I can only imagine her delight. I'll see you this evening, Mother.
I look forward to it, Christian. Goodbye.
There's an email from Flynn. From Dr. John Flynn to Christian Gray, June 11th, 2011, 2:25 p.m. Tonight. I look forward to meeting Anastasia. J.F. I bet you do, John. It seems everyone is thrilled I have a date tonight. Everyone, including me. Anna is lying across the bed in the submissive's room, staring at her Mac. She's engrossed in reading something on the web. What are you doing? I ask. She startles and for some reason looks guilty. I lie down beside her and see that she's on a website with a page titled Multiple Personality Disorder, The Symptoms. I understand that I have many issues, but fortunately schizophrenia is not one of them. I can't hide my amusement at her amateur psychological sleuthing. On this site for a reason.
Research into a difficult personality.
A difficult personality.
My own pet project.
I'm a pet project now? A sideline. Science experiment, maybe.
When I thought I was everything. Miss Steele, you wound me. How do you know it's you?
Wild guess, I tease.
It's true that you are the only fucked-up mercurial control freak that I know intimately.
I thought I was the only person you know intimately.
Yes, that too,
she replies, and an embarrassed flush turns her cheeks a fetching pink. Have you reached any conclusions yet? She turns to scrutinize me, her expression warm.
I think you're in need of intense therapy.
I tuck her hair behind her ear, pleased that she's kept it long and I can still do this. I think I'm in need of you, I counter. Here. I give her the lipstick.
You want me to wear this?
I laugh. No, Anastasia. Not unless you want to. Not sure it's your color. Scarlet red is Elena's color,
Though I don't tell Hannah that, she'll combust, and not in a good way. I sit up on the bed, cross my legs, and pull my shirt over my head. This is either a brilliant brainwave or a stupid one. We'll see. I like your roadmap idea. She looks puzzled. The no-go areas, I prompt. Oh, I was kidding, she says. I'm not.
You want me to draw on you with lipstick?
She's bewildered. It washes off, eventually. She considers my proposition and a smile tugs at her lips.
What about something more permanent, like a Sharpie?
I could get a tattoo.
No to the tattoo.
She laughs, but her eyes are wide in horror. Lipstick, then, I retort. Her laugh is infectious, and I beam at her. She shuts the Mac, and I hold out my hands. Come, sit on me. She peels her shoes off and crawls over to me. I lay back, keeping my knees upright. Lean against my legs. She sits astride me, excited at this new challenge. You seem enthusiastic for this, I note with irony.
I'm always eager for information, Mr. Gray, and it means you'll relax because I'll know where the boundaries lie.
I shake my head. I hope this is a good idea. Open the lipstick, I instruct. For once, she does as she's told. Give me your hand. She holds up her free hand. The one with the lipstick.
Are you rolling your eyes at me?
She chides. Yep.
That's very rude, Mr. Gray. I know some people who get positively violent at eye rolling.
Do you now? My tone is wry. She places her hand with the lipstick in mine, and I sit up suddenly, surprising her, so we're nose to nose. Ready? I whisper, trying to curb my anxiety, but panic starts to spread.
Yes,
she responds, the word as soft as a summer breeze. Knowing I'm about to overstep my bounds, the darkness is circling like a vulture, waiting to consume me. Taking her hand, I move it to the top of my shoulder, and fear squeezes my ribs, expelling the air from my lungs. Press down. I struggle to get the words out. She does, and I guide her hand around my arm socket and down the side of my chest. The darkness slides into my throat, threatening to choke me. Anna's amusement is gone, replaced by her solemn and determined concentration. I fix my eyes on hers and read every nuanced thought and emotion in the depths of her irises, each a life buoy, keeping me from drowning, holding the darkness at bay. She is my salvation. I stop at the bottom of my rib cage and move her hand across my abdomen, the lipstick spilling its red trail as she paints my body. I'm panting, trying desperately to hide my fear. Each muscle is tense and standing proud as the red slices my flesh. I lean back, supporting myself on flexed, straining arms as I fight my demons and surrender myself to her gentle illustration. She's halfway done when I let go and give her total control. And up the other side, I whisper. With the same single-minded focus, Anna draws up my right side. Eyes impossibly large, anguished, but holding my attention. When she reaches the top of my shoulder, she stops.
There, done,
she breathes, her voice husky with repressed emotion. She lifts her hand away from my body, giving me a brief respite. No, you're not. I draw a line with my finger around the base of my neck, above my clavicle. Anna takes a deep breath and traces the lipstick along the same line. When she finishes, blue eyes meet gray. Now my back, I instruct, and shift so that she clambers off me. I turn around, my back to her, and cross my legs. Follow the line from my chest, all the way around to the other side. My voice is hoarse and alien to me, like I've left my body entirely to watch a beautiful young woman tame a monster. No. No. Be in the moment, Gray. Live this.
Feel this. Conquer this. I am at Anna's mercy. The woman I love. The tip of the lipstick crosses my back as I hunch over and screw my eyes shut, tolerating the pain. It disappears.
Around your neck, too?
Her voice is plaintive. Full of reassurance. My life buoy. I nod and the pain is back, piercing my skin beneath my hairline. Then, just as suddenly, it's gone again.
Finished,
she says, and I want to shout my relief from the helipad on Escala. I turn to face her and she's watching me. And I know I'll shatter like a shard of glass if I see any pity on her face. But there's none. She's waiting, patient, kind, controlled, compassionate. My Anna, those are my boundaries, I whisper.
I can live with those. Right now, I want to launch myself at you,
she says, her eyes shining. At last. My relief is a wicked smile, and I hold out my hands in invitation. Well, Miss Steele, I'm all yours. She squeals with glee and throws herself into my arms. Whoa. She knocks me off balance, but I recover and twist so that she lands on the bed beneath me, grasping my biceps. Now about that rain check. I kiss her, hard. Her fingers curl in my hair and tug as I consume her. She moans, her tongue entwined with mine, and there's a reckless, wild abandon in our kissing. She's driving the darkness out, and I'm drinking in her light. Adrenaline is fueling my passion, and she's matching me kiss for kiss. I want her naked. I sit her up and drag her t-shirt over her head and toss it to the floor. I want to feel you. My words are feverish against her lips as I undo her bra and throw it aside. I lay her back down on the bed and kiss her breast, my lips toying with one nipple while my fingers tease the other. She cries out when I suck and tug hard. Yes, baby, let me hear you. I breathe against her skin. She squirms beneath me as I continue my sensual worship of her breasts. Her nipples respond to my touch, growing longer and harder as Anna writhes to a rhythm set by her passion. She is a goddess. My goddess. I undo the button on her jeans as she twists her hands in my hair. I make short work of her zipper and slip my hand inside her panties. My fingers slide with ease to their goal. Fuck. She thrusts her pelvis up to meet the heel of my hand, and I press against her clitoris as she mules beneath me. She's slick and ready. Oh, baby, I whisper, and lean up and hover over her, watching her wild expression. You're so wet.
I want you,
she whimpers. I kiss her again as my hand moves against and inside her. I'm greedy. I want all of her. I need all of her. She's mine. Mine. I sit up and grab the hem of her jeans, and in one swift tug, they're off. I hook my fingers in her panties and they follow. I stand and out of my pocket take a foil packet and toss it at her. I'm relieved to remove my jeans and underwear. Anna rips open the packet and eyes me hungrily when I lie down beside her. Slowly she rolls the condom over me, and I grab her hands and roll onto my back. You, on top, I insist, and I sit her astride me. I want to see you. Slowly I ease her down onto me. Fuck, she feels so good. I close my eyes and flex my hips as she takes me, and I exhale with a long, loud groan. You feel so good. I tighten my fingers around hers. I don't want to let her go. Then she rises and falls, her body embracing mine, her breasts bouncing as she does. I let go of her hands, knowing she'll respect the roadmap, and I grab her hips. She places her hands on my arms as I rise up and thrust into her. She cries out. That's right, baby. Feel me. I whisper. She tips her head back and becomes the perfect counterpoint. Up, down, up, down, up, down.
I lose myself in our shared rhythm, reveling in every precious inch of her. She's panting and moaning, and I watch her take me over and over, eyes closed, head back in ecstasy. She's magnificent. She opens her eyes.
My Anna.
My lips form the words.
Yes, always,
she cries. And her words call to my soul and tip me over the edge. I close my eyes and surrender to her once more. She cries out as she finds her own release, pulling me to mine as she collapses on top of me.
Oh, baby,
I grunt, and I'm spent. Her head lolls on my chest, but I don't care. She's subdued the darkness. I caress her hair, and with tired fingers I stroke her back as we both catch our breath. You are so beautiful, I murmur, and it's only when Anna lifts her head that I realize I've said the words out loud. She eyes me with skepticism. When will she learn to take a compliment? I sit up quickly, catching Anna off guard, but I hold her in place, and we're face to face again. You are beautiful. I emphasize each word.
And you're amazingly sweet sometimes.
She leans forward and gives me a chaste kiss. I lift her up and she winces as I ease out of her. I kiss her gently. You have no idea how attractive you are, do you? She looks nonplussed. All those boys pursuing you, that isn't enough of a clue.
Boys? What boys?
You want the list? The photographer, he's crazy about you. That boy in the hardware store. Your roommate's older brother. Your boss. That untrustworthy fucker.
Oh, Christian, that's just not true.
Trust me. They want you. They want what's mine. I tighten my hold on her and she rests her forearms on my shoulders, her hands in my hair, and she studies me with amused tolerance. Mine, I assert.
Yes, yours.
She gives me an indulgent smile.
The line is still intact,
she continues, and draws her finger over the lipstick mark on my shoulder. I stiffen, alarmed.
I want to go exploring,
she whispers. The apartment?
No.
She shakes her head.
I was thinking of the treasure map that we've drawn on you.
What? She rubs her nose against mine, distracting me. And what would that entail exactly, Miss Steele? She raises her hand and tickles my stubble with her fingertips.
I just want to touch you everywhere I'm allowed.
Her index finger brushes my lips and I capture it between my teeth.
Ow!
She yelps when I bite down, and I grin as I growl. So she wants to touch me. I've given her my boundaries. Try it her way, Gray. Okay, I acquiesce, but I hear the uncertainty in my voice. Wait. I lift her and remove the condom and drop it beside the bed. I hate those things. I've a good mind to call Dr. Green around to give you a shot.
You think the top OBGYN in Seattle is going to come running?
I can be very persuasive. I smooth her hair behind her ear. She has the most beautiful, small, impish ears. Franco's done a great job on your hair. I like these layers.
Stop changing the subject,
she warns. I lift her so she's astride me once more. Watching her carefully, I recline under the pillows while she rests her back against my upright knees. Touch away, I murmur. Her eyes never leave mine, and she places her hand on my belly beneath the lipstick line. I tense as her finger explores the valleys between my abdominal muscles. I flinch, and she lifts her finger.
I don't have to,
she says. No, it's fine. Just take some readjustment on my part. No one's touched me for a long time.
Mrs. Robinson?
Shit. Why did I allude to her? Warily, I nod. I don't want to talk about her. It will sour your good mood.
I can handle it,
No, you can't, Anna. You see red whenever I mention her. My past is my past. It's a fact. I can't change it. I'm lucky that you don't have one, because it would drive me crazy if you did.
Drive you crazy? More than you are already?
Crazy for you, I declare. She grins, a large, genuine grin.
Shall I call Dr. Flynn?
I don't think that will be necessary. She wriggles on top of me and I drop my legs. With her eyes on mine, she places her fingers on my belly. I tense.
I like touching you,
she says, and her hand slips down to my navel, teasing the hair there. Her fingers quest lower.
Whoa.
My cock twitches in approval.
Again,
she says with a carnal smile. Oh, Anastasia, you insatiable woman. Oh, yes, Miss Steele. Again. I sit up and clasp her head in my hands and kiss her, long and hard. You're not too sore, I whisper against her lips.
No.
I love your stamina, Anna. She dozes beside me, replete, I hope. After all of today's arguments and recriminations, I'm now feeling more at peace. Perhaps I can do this vanilla thing. I look down at Anna. Her lips are parted and her lashes leave little shadows across her pale cheek. She looks serene and beautiful, and I could watch her sleep forever. Yet she can be really fucking difficult. Who knew? And the irony is, I think I like it. She makes me question myself. She makes me question everything. She makes me feel alive. Back in the living room, I gather my papers from the sofa and head into my study. I've left Anastasia asleep. She must be exhausted after last night, and we have a long night ahead at the ball. At my desk, I fire up my computer. One of Andrea's many virtues is that she keeps my contacts up to date and synced across all my devices. I look up Dr. Green, and sure enough, I have her email address. I'm so over condoms. I'd like her to see Anna as soon as possible. I send her an email, but I don't imagine I'll hear from her until Monday. After all, it's the weekend. I send a couple of emails to Roz and make some notes on the reports I read earlier. Opening a drawer to put away my pen, I spy the red box with the earrings I bought Anna for the gala that we never attended. She left me. Taking out the box, I examine the earrings once more. They are perfect for her. Elegant, simple, stunning. I wonder if she'd accept him today. After the fight about the Audi and the $24,000, it seems unlikely. But I'd like to give them to her. I put the box in my pocket and check my watch. It's time to wake Anna, as I'm sure she'll need a while to get ready for tonight. She's curled up in the middle of the bed, looking small and lonely. She's in the subs room. I wonder why she's up here. She's not my submissive. She should be asleep in my bed, downstairs. Hey, sleepyhead. I kiss her temple. Mmm, she grumbles, and her eyelids flicker open. Time to get up, I whisper, and kiss her quickly on the lips.
Mr. Gray.
Her fingers caress my stubble.
I've missed you.
You've been asleep. How can she have missed me?
I missed you in my dreams.
Her simple, sleepy statement floors me. She is so unpredictable and bewitching. I grin as an unexpected warmth spreads through my body. It's becoming familiar, but I don't want to put a name to the feeling. It's too new. Too scary. Up, I order, and I leave her to get ready before I'm tempted to join her. After a quick shower, I shave. Usually I try to avoid eye contact with the asshole in the mirror, but today he looks happier, though somewhat ridiculous, with a smeared red lipstick line around his neck. My thoughts turn to the night ahead. I usually loathe these events and find them intensely dull, but this time I'll have a date, another first with Anna.
I hope having her on my arm will ward off the flocks of Mia's friends who try desperately to get themselves noticed. They have never learned that I'm just not interested. I wonder how Anna will find it. Perhaps she'll think it's dull, too. I hope not. Maybe I should liven up the evening. As I finish shaving, an idea comes to mind. A few minutes later, wearing my dress pants and shirt, I head upstairs, pausing outside my playroom. Is this a good idea? Anna can always say no. I unlock the door and step inside. I've not been in my playroom since she left me. It's quiet, and ambient light glows on the red walls, giving the place an illusion of warmth. But today, this room is not my sanctuary. It hasn't been since she left me alone and in darkness. It holds the memory of her tear-stained face, her anger, and her bitter words. I close my eyes. You need to sort your shit out, Gray. I'm trying, Anna. I'm trying. You are one fucked up son of a bitch. Fuck. If she only knew, she'd leave again. I discard the unpalatable thought and from the chest fetch what I need. Will she go for this?
I like your kinky fuckery.
Her hushed words from the night of our reconciliation give me some consolation. With Anna's confession in mind, I turn to leave. For the first time ever, I don't want to linger in here. As I lock the door, I wonder when or if Anna and I will revisit this room. I know I'm not ready. How Anna will feel about the, what does she call it, red room of pain, we'll have to see. The thought that I may never use it again depresses me. Brooding on this, I walk to her room. Perhaps I should get rid of the canes and belts. Maybe that would help. I open the submissive's room door and stop. A startled Anna whirls around to face me. She's dressed in a black corset, tiny lace panties, and thigh highs. All thought is erased from my mind. My mouth dries as I stare. She's a walking wet dream. She's Aphrodite. Thank you, Caroline Acton.
Can I help you, Mr. Gray? I assume there is some purpose to your visit other than to gawk mindlessly at me.
There's a haughty edge to her voice. I am rather enjoying my mindless gawk, thank you, Miss Steele. I step into the room. Remind me to send a personal note of thanks to Caroline Acton. Anna gestures with her hands. She's wondering what I'm talking about. The personal shopper at Neiman's, I clarify.
Oh.
I'm quite distracted.
I can see that. What do you want, Christian?
She says, sounding impatient, but I think she's teasing me. I pull the Kegel balls out of my pocket for her to see, and her expression changes from playful to alarmed. She thinks I want to spank her. I do, but it's not what you think. I reassure her.
Enlighten me.
I thought you could wear these tonight. She blinks several times.
To this event?
I nod.
Will you spank me later?
No. Her face falls and I can't help but laugh. You want me to? I watch her swallow, indecision plain on her face. Well, rest assured I am not going to touch you like that, not even if you beg me. I pause and let that information sink in before I continue. Do you want to play this game? I hold them up. You can always take them out if it's too much. Her eyes darken, and a small wicked smile teases her lips.
Okay,
she says. And once again, I'm reminded that Anastasia Steele is not a woman to back away from a challenge. I spy the Louboutins on the floor. Good girl. Come here, and I'll put them in once you've put your shoes on. Anna in fine lingerie and Louboutins. All my dreams are coming true. I hold out my hand to help her into her shoes. She steps into them and turns from elfin and gamine to tall and willowy. She's gorgeous. Man, what they do for her legs. I lead her to the bedside and fetch the bedroom chair and place it in front of her. When I nod, you bend down and hold onto the chair. Understand?
Yes.
Good. Now open your mouth. She does, and I slide my index finger between her lips. Suck, I order. She clasps my hand, and with a lustful glance at me, she does exactly as I ask. Christ. Her look is scorching, wanton, unwavering, and her tongue teases and pulls at my finger. I might as well have my cock in her mouth. I'm hard, instantly. Oh, baby. I've known very few women who have had this instant effect on me, but none as instant as Anna. And given her naivete, it surprises me, but she's had this hold on me since I met her. Get to the matter in hand, Gray. To lubricate the balls, I slip them into my mouth while she continues to pleasure my finger. When I try to withdraw it, her teeth clamp down and she gives me a winsome smile. No, you don't, I warn, shaking my head, and she loosens her grip, releasing me. I nod, indicating she should bend over the chair, and she obliges. Kneeling behind her, I move her panties to one side and slide my filleted finger inside her and circle slowly, feeling the tight, wet walls of her vagina. She moans, and I want to tell her to be quiet and to stay still, but that's not the relationship we have anymore. We're doing things her way. I withdraw my finger, then gently ease each ball inside her, carefully pushing them as deep as they can go. As I slip her panties back in place, I kiss her delectable derriere. I sit back on my heels and run my hands up her legs and kiss each thigh where her stockings stop. You have fine, fine legs, Miss Steele. I stand and grasp her hips, pulling her against my arousal. Maybe I'll have you this way when we get home, Anastasia. You can stand now. She does, her breath quickening once she's upright, and she shimmies in front of me, her ass brushing my erection. I kiss her shoulder and extend my arm around her, palm up, holding out the Cartier box. I bought these for you to wear to last Saturday's gala, but you left me, so I never had the opportunity to give them to you. I take a deep breath. This is my second chance. Will she accept them? It seems symbolic somehow. If she's serious about us, she'll accept them. I hold my breath. She reaches for the box and opens it and stares at the earrings for the longest time. Please take them, Anna.
They're lovely,
she whispers.
Thank you.
She can play nice. I grin as I relax, knowing I won't have to fight to get her to keep them. I kiss her shoulder and spot the silver satin dress on the bed. I ask her if that's what she's chosen to wear.
Yes. Is that okay?
Of course. I'll let you get ready. I've lost count of the number of these events I've attended, but for the first time, I'm excited. I get to show Anna off to my family and all of their well-heeled friends. I finish tying my bow tie with ease and grab my jacket. Slipping it on, I take one last look in the mirror. The asshole looks happy, but he needs to straighten his tie.
Keep still,
Elena snaps.
Yes, ma'am.
I stand before her, getting ready for prom. I've told my parents I'm not going and that I'm seeing a friend. It will be our own personal prom, just Elena and I. She moves, and I hear the rustle of expensive silk and inhale the provocative scent of her perfume.
Open your eyes.
I do as I'm instructed. She's poised behind me, and we're facing a mirror. I look at her, not at the idiot boy standing in front of her. She takes the ends of my bow tie.
And this is how you do this.
Slowly, she moves her fingers. Her nails are bright scarlet. I watch. Fascinated. She pulls the ends and I'm wearing a most respectable bow tie.
Now let's see if you can do it. And if you do, I'll reward you.
She smiles her secret I so own you smile. And I know it will be good. I'm rehashing the night's arrangements with the security team when I hear her footfalls behind me. All four men are suddenly distracted. Taylor smiles. When I turn around, Anna is standing at the bottom of the stairs. A vision. Wow. She's stunning in her silver gown and reminiscent of a silent movie siren. I saunter over to her, feeling a disproportionate sense of pride, and kiss her hair. Anastasia, you look breathtaking. I'm delighted that she's wearing the earrings. She flushes. A glass of champagne before we go, I offer.
Please.
I nod to Taylor, who leads his three colleagues out to the foyer, and with my arm around my date, we head into the living room. From the fridge, I take a bottle of Cristal Rosé and open it.
Security team?
Anna asks, as I pour the bubbling liquid into champagne flutes. Close protection. They're under Taylor's control. He's trained in that, too. I hand her a glass.
He's very versatile.
Yes, he is. You look lovely, Anastasia. Cheers. I raise my glass to meet hers. She takes a sip and closes her eyes, savoring the wine. How are you feeling? I ask, noting the pink flush on her cheeks, the same blush of the champagne, and I wonder how long she'll tolerate the balls.
Fine, thank you.
She gives me a coy smile. Tonight will be entertaining. Here, you're going to need this. I give her the velvet bag that contains her mask. Open it. Anna does and pulls out the delicate silver masquerade mask and runs her fingers through the plumes. It's a masked ball.
I see.
She examines the mask in wonder. This will show off your beautiful eyes, Anastasia.
Are you wearing one?
Of course. They're very liberating, in a way. She grins. I have one more surprise for her. Come, I want to show you something. I hold out my hand and lead her back out to the corridor and into my library. I can't believe I haven't shown her this room.
You have a library,
she exclaims. Yes, the ball's room, as Elliot calls it. The apartment is quite spacious. I realized today when you mentioned exploring that I've never given you a tour. We don't have time now, but I thought I'd show you this room and maybe challenge you to a game of billiards in the not-too-distant future. Her eyes are bright with wonder as she takes in the collection of books and the billiard table.
Bring it on,
she says with a self-satisfied grin.
What?
She's hiding something. Can she play?
Nothing,
she says quickly, and I know that's probably the answer. She really is a hopeless liar. Well, maybe Dr. Flynn can uncover your secrets. You'll meet him this evening.
The expensive charlatan?
The very same. He's dying to meet you. Shall we go? She nods, and excitement shines in her eyes. We travel in companionable silence in the back of the car. I skim my thumb across her knuckles, sensing her growing anticipation. She crosses and uncrosses her legs, and I know the balls are taking their toll.
Where did you get the lipstick?
She asks out of the blue. I point to Taylor and mouth his name. She laughs, then stops abruptly. And I know it's the Kegel balls. Relax, I whisper. If it's too much. I kiss each of her knuckles and suck the tip of her little finger, rolling my tongue around it, as she did with my finger earlier. Anna closes her eyes, tips her head back, and inhales. Her smoldering eyes meet mine when she opens them again. She rewards me with a wicked grin, and I respond in kind.
So, what can we expect at this event?
She asks. Oh, the usual stuff.
Not usual for me.
Of course. When would she have been to an event like this? I kiss her knuckles once more as I explain. Lots of people flashing their cash. Auction, raffle, dinner, dancing. My mother knows how to throw a party. The Audi joins the line of cars arriving at my parents' house. Anna strains to have a look. I glance out of the back window to see Reynolds from the security detail following us in my other Audi Q7. masks on. I retrieve mine from the black silk bag beside me. When we pull up into the driveway, we are both in disguise. Anna looks spectacular. She's dazzling, and I want to show her off to the world. Taylor comes to a stop, and one of the valets opens my door. Ready? I ask Anna.
As I'll ever be.
You look beautiful, Anastasia. I kiss her hand and climb out of the car. I put my arm around my date, and we walk alongside the house on a green carpet my mother has rented for the occasion. I glance once over my shoulder and observe our four security personnel walking behind us, looking everywhere. It's reassuring. Mr. Gray! A photographer calls out to me, and I pull Anna close and we pose.
Two photographers?
Anna observes, curious. One is from the Seattle Times. The other is for a souvenir. We'll be able to buy a copy later. We pass a line of servers holding flutes of champagne, and I hand a glass to Anna. My parents have gone all out, like they do every year. Pavilion, pergolas, lanterns, checkered dance floor, ice swans, and a string quartet. I watch Anna as she takes in the surroundings with awe. It's gratifying to see my parents' generosity through her eyes. It's not often that I get the opportunity to stand back and appreciate how lucky I am to be part of their world.
How many people are coming?
She asks, sizing up the elaborate tent next to the shoreline. I think about 300. You'll have to ask my mother.
Christian!
I hear the shrill, not-so-dulcet tones of my sister. Then she's throwing her arms around my neck in a melodramatic display of affection. She's a vision in pink. Mia. I return her enthusiastic hug. She spies Anna, and I'm forgotten.
Anna, oh, darling, you look gorgeous. You must come and meet my friends. None of them can believe that Christian finally has a girlfriend.
She hugs Anna and takes her hand. Anna gives me a quick, apprehensive look before Mia drags her to a group of women who coo over her, all except one. Shit. I recognize Lily, Mia's friend since kindergarten. Spoiled, wealthy, gorgeous, but spiteful. She embodies all the worst attributes of privilege and entitlement. And there was a time when she thought she was entitled to me. I shudder. I watch Anna as she's gracious with me as friends, but she steps back suddenly looking uncomfortable. I think Lily is being an asshole. This will never do. I walk over and put my arm around Anna's waist. Ladies, if I could claim my date back, please.
Lovely to meet you,
Anna says to the throng as I pull her away.
Thank you, she mouths.
I saw that Lily was with Mia. She is one nasty piece of work.
She likes you,
Anna observes. Well, the feeling is not mutual. Come, let me introduce you to some people. Anna is impressive, the perfect date, gracious, elegant, and sweet. She listens attentively to anecdotes. She asks intelligent questions, and I love the way she defers to me. Yes, I especially love that. It's novel and unexpected, but then she's always unexpected. What's more, she's oblivious to the many, many admiring glances she receives from both men and women, and she stays close to my side. I attribute her rosy glow to the champagne, and maybe the Kegel balls, and if the latter are bothering her, she hides it well. The master of ceremonies announces that dinner is served, and we follow the green carpet across the lawn to the pavilion. Anna is looking toward the boathouse. Boathouse? I ask.
Maybe we can go there later.
Only if I can carry you over my shoulder. She laughs, then stops abruptly. I grin. How are you feeling?
Good,
she says with a superior air, and my grin broadens. Game on, Miss Steele. Behind us, Taylor and his men follow at a discreet distance and, once in the tent pavilion, position themselves so they have a good view of the crowd. My mother and Mia are already at our table with a friend of Mia's. Grace welcomes Anna warmly.
Anna, how delightful to see you again, and looking so beautiful, too.
Mother. I greet Grace and kiss her on both cheeks.
Oh, Christian, so formal,
she chides. My maternal grandparents join us, and after the obligatory hugs, I introduce them both to Anna.
Oh, he's finally found someone. How wonderful, and so pretty. Well, I do hope you make an honest man of him.
My grandmother enthuses. Inappropriate, Grandma. Fuck. I stare at my mother. Help, Mom, stop her.
Mother, don't embarrass Anna,
Grace admonishes her mom.
Ignore the silly old coot, my dear. She thinks because she's so old, she has a God-given right to say whatever nonsense pops into that woolly head of hers.
My grandfather gives me a wink. Theodore Trevelyan is my hero. We have a special bond. This man has patiently taught me how to plant, cultivate, and graft apple trees, and in doing so has won my eternal affection. Quiet, strong, kind, patient with me. Always.
Here, kiddo.
Grandpa Trevelyan says.
You don't talk much, do you?
I shake my head. No, I don't talk at all.
That's no problem. Folks around here talk too much anyway. Do you want to help me in the orchard?
I nod. I like Grandpa Trevelyan. He has kind eyes and a loud laugh. He holds out his hand, but I tuck my hands under my arms.
As you like, Christian. Let's go make some green apple trees make red apples.
I like red apples. The orchard is big. There are trees and trees and trees. But they are small trees, not big, and they have no leaves and no apples because of winter. I have big boots on and a hat. I like my hat. I'm warm. Grandpa Trevelyan looks at a tree.
See this tree, Christian? It makes bitter green apples. We can fool the tree to make sweet red apples for us. These twigs are from the red apple tree, and here are my pruning shears.
Pruning shears. They are sharp.
Do you want to cut this one?
I say yes with my head.
We're going to graft this twig you've cut. It's called a scion.
Scion. Scion. I say the word in my head. He takes a knife and makes one end of the twig sharp, and he cuts a branch on the tree and sticks the scion in the cut.
Now we tape it up.
He takes green tape and ties the twig to the branch.
And we put melted beeswax on the wound. Here, you take this brush. Steady now, that's right.
We make many grafts.
You know, Christian, apples are second only to oranges as the most valuable fruit grown in the U.S. of A. Here in Washington, though, there's not really enough sun for oranges.
I'm sleepy.
Tired? You want to head back to the house?
I say yes with my head.
We've done a lot of grafting. This tree will yield a huge crop of sweet red apples come autumn. You can help me pick them.
He smiles and holds out a big hand, and I take it. It's big and rough, but warm and gentle.
Let's go have some hot chocolate.
Grandpa gives me a crinkled smile, and I turn my attention to Mia's date, who seems to be checking out mine. His name is Sean, and I think he's from Mia's old high school. I shake his hand, squeezing hard. Keep your eyes on your own date, Sean. And by the way, you're with my sister. Treat her well, or I will end you.
I think I managed to convey all of that information in my pointed look and the tight grip I have on his hand. He nods and swallows.
Mr. Gray? I pull out Anna's chair and we sit. My dad is standing on the stage. He taps the mic and rattles off a welcome and an introduction to the great and the good gathered before him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to our annual charity ball. I hope that you enjoy what we have laid out for you tonight and that you'll dig deep into your pockets to support the fantastic work that our team does with Coping Together. As you know, it's a cause that is very close to my wife's heart and mine.
The plumes on Anna's mask quiver as she turns to look at me, and I wonder if she's thinking about my past. Should I answer her unspoken question? Yes, this charity exists because of me. My parents formed it because of my miserable start in life, and now they help hundreds of addicted parents and their kids by offering them refuge and rehabilitation. But she says nothing, and I remain impassive, as I'm not sure how I should feel about her curiosity. I'll hand you over now to our master of ceremonies. Please be seated and enjoy. Dad says, and he hands the microphone to the MC, then wanders over to our table, making a beeline for Anna. He greets her with a kiss on each cheek. She blushes. Good to see you again, Anna, he says. Ladies and gentlemen, please nominate a table head, the MC calls out.
Ooh, me, me,
cries Mia, bouncing like a child in her seat. In the center of the table, you will find an envelope, the MC continues. Would everyone find, beg, borrow, or steal a bill of the highest denomination you can manage, write your name on it, and place it inside the envelope? Tableheads, please guard these envelopes carefully. We will need them later. Here. I give a $100 bill to Anna.
I'll pay you back,
she whispers. Sweetheart. I don't want that argument again. Saying nothing because a scene would be unseemly, I hand her my Mont Blanc so she can sign her name on the note. Grace signals a couple of servers standing at the front of the pavilion, and they pull back the canvas, revealing a picture postcard view of Seattle and Maidenbower Bay at dusk. It's a great view, especially at this time of the evening, and I'm glad the weather has remained fine for my parents. Anna gazes at the cityscape and its reflection in the water with delight. And I examine it anew. It's stunning. The darkening sky ablaze with the setting sun mirrored in the water, the lights of Seattle twinkling in the distance. Yeah. Stunning. Seeing all this through Anna's eyes is humbling. For years I've taken it for granted. I glance at my parents. My father clasps his wife's hand as she laughs at something her friend says. The way he looks at her, the way she looks at him. They love each other, still. I shake my head. Is it weird that I'm having a strange and new appreciation for my upbringing? I was lucky. Very lucky. Our servers arrive, 10 of them in total, and as one they present the table with our first course. Anna peeks at me from behind her mask. Hungry?
Very,
she replies, with serious intent. Damn. All other thoughts evaporate as my body responds to her bold statement, and I know she's not referring to the food. My grandfather diverts her, and I shift in my seat, trying to bring my body to heal.